Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
What's going on, everyone, to the Friday night edition of Advise Show Radio. Tonight's topic, the media propaganda against minorities in America. And as always, got Ms. Gabriella on the line. How you doing, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm good. Last day of school was yesterday, so.
Last day of school. So how was in finals, Ms. Gabriella?
I have finals next week. I mean, I don't have any more classes, but finals are all next week.
Finals are next week. Okay.
Yeah, they're all take-home, so.
So what they, you do them at home and then you take it back to school and then that's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. I mean, well, I guess school didn't really change because back in the day, you couldn't be taking no assignments home. They got a thing called Google that people can use to cheat with. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it doesn't mean, I don't know. I mean, like these kids, you know, they come home every day talking about they don't have homework, they don't have this, they don't have that. And I'm like, when I was in school, you had to have at least an hour minimum of homework when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, we have to do it on a laptop. And I'm like, where's some books? Where's something you write with? Not just a laptop. You know, let me see what everybody's spending tax dollars on.
We're not learning. Well, I'm not going to say, I mean, I think I'm learning something, but for the most part, American kids aren't learning anything. So, which is why I'm not going to say we're the lock and stock of the whole world, but we might as well be.
Yeah. So, to a point. But before we get started really into the meat of the topic, we all know that Nelson Mandela has passed away. You know, the brother's 95 years old. And, you know, the brother fought long and hard for South Africa. I mean, he put his life on the line. His brother, he went to prison unjustly to fight for, you know, the rights and freedoms of, you know, his people. And, you know, he was definitely an icon. You know, I definitely remember, you know, Nelson Mandela. And even when he became the president, I remember, you know, him and, you know, as a kid, you know, going along. And if you don't know much about Nelson Mandela, do your research. He is a good brother to research and look into. Did you know much about Nelson Mandela, Ms. Gabriella?
Actually, ironically, I did a report on him when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do like a biography and learn about his whole life and see the things that he did for the world. So out of all the people that died recently, he was the only one that I really was like, oh, wow. But at the same time, I think that even though he's dead, he's, you know, people aren't going to forget about him because he's done a lot. And he did live to be 95 years old. So you can't say, oh, well, he died when he was young. You know?
Yeah, because a lot of these people, you know, that's younger today would be lucky to live to 95 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look at Paul Walker. He just died. He's 40, you know, 40-year-old dude, and he didn't see nothing, not even 60. He didn't see none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just sad. It's just real, real sad. Some of the things that, you know, we see in the day. And I saw a post, I think, that you had put up about the more people know about Paul Walker or celebrating Paul Walker more than Nelson
mm-hmm.
Mandela.
There's actually, this is what made me mad the other day, actually. So there was a little, this wasn't just one girl, but I saw a picture, and I wish I could find it. But she had a picture of Morgan Freeman, and she posted up on Twitter talking about RIP Nelson Mandela. And then there's actually an article. A lot of people kept thinking that Morgan Freeman was Nelson Mandela. And they were posting up his pictures and saying all this stuff about it. And then Paris Hilton even posted up something talking about RIP Nelson Mandela, your I Have a Dream speech was really inspiring.
Oh, Jesus, if you can't say more than dumb blonde, I don't know what more can you
say. She said it was a fake tweet,
Of course. So it's a fake tweet. And somebody hacked you. That'd be the two things that people are going to say about you, right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
We get it. So, we get started on the topic tonight, the media propaganda against minorities. So before we get into that term propaganda, let's read exactly what propaganda is. Now, propaganda is a form of communication aimed toward influencing the attitude of the community towards some cause or position by presenting only a one side of an argument. Propaganda statements may be partly false and partly true. Propaganda is usually repeated and dispersed over a wide variety of media in order to create the chosen result in attitude audiences. In other words, propaganda is just showing you one side of things just to make you think that person's way of thinking. And the media does this all the time when it comes to especially black people. They don't show, like, for instance, black people going to college and getting their degree. No, they'll show the Sharkeishas of the world. And they'll say, oh, well, see, this is black people, Sharkeisha. But they won't show the, you know, sister that's graduating college. Or they'll say, you know, oh, these are black thugs and the knockout game type of stuff, which that's all a farce, too. They try to push, like, that's something that just, you know, like somebody came to my channel the other day and say, oh, well, you know, there's a bunch of stories, about, you know, tons of stories about these black men playing a knockout game. I'm like, what tons? It was only a few.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to make it seem like it's just a national problem.
Exactly. It's no national problem. It was only a few incidents.
Mm-hmm. But and they won't even report the one, the story about the, I mean, I don't want to get racial, but there was a white guy who beat up a mentally challenged young black man, and that story didn't really get the light of day. Sure, it got played on a few local stations, but it didn't get the amount of attention that these knockout game stories have been getting.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about. That's why when I did that particular video on my channel, I made sure to say that it was the latest victim of the knockout game. I did that for the simple fact of I'm pushing the same thing you pushing. If you saying this is a knockout game, if a black kid or whatever punch somebody, then if a white guy does it, it's a knockout game too. Now, why is it when I put that up, you want to say, oh, well, this is not the same, and oh, it's
that's
just
an isolated event.
It's an isolated event. Every single time when something happens and it's a white dude do something, it's always isolated.
It's, oh,
it's always
just them.
It's just
it's
that
just
one guy. I mean, you know, yeah, he's evil. He's wrong. I mean, we don't agree with him. Mm-hmm. But when a black person does it, male or female, you make sure to say it's all these black people. And when I was bringing up about O'Reilly, this one person tried to come to my channel and tell me, oh, well, you know, O'Reilly didn't say all of them, but look at the title, Black Teens in the Knockout Game. So basically what you're saying is only black people do that. You don't have to say in your particular piece, well, hey, we believe all these black people. Of course, O'Reilly has a history of putting out propaganda against the black community and also Latino community, the Middle Eastern community. Anybody else outside of white males, Bill O'Reilly will spin that. I mean, that's why I call Fox News Klan News Channel. I call them Klan News Channel. That's exactly what they are. Think about it. If you sit there long enough and listen to the rhetoric on Fox News Channel, you'll get sickened by it, literally.
I mean, I know some black people that like it. So.
Yeah, and a lot of the black people who like it, I guess they the Alan Keyes, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson types, you know, the Larry Elder types. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. But they almost like the, I can't think of the word I'm trying to say, but it's like the human version of Uncle Ruckus, basically.
Yeah.
If he was real, that's how they really act. It's a shame, too. But I don't understand why it seems like every single, I mean, because I remember when you did the video about the statistics on how there was more white, I think it was like, was it white males committing the most crimes and murders
in
the United
States? Yeah, of
course.
They got more arrests. They got more everything.
But then they want to spin it and make it seem like, oh, well, because of the numbers, black people are committing the most crimes. When we don't even, there's not even that many of us in the country as it is.
Exactly. How is it? This we, you, we, I don't get. How is it that 13% of the population, 13%, supposedly 13%, because not all black people get counted like that, but supposedly 13% of the population, yet we commit all the crimes, yet FBI statistics doesn't bear that out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. If every black person in the United States of America committed a crime, you still wouldn't beat the numbers of crimes that is done by white people because they're the majority. I mean, it's a numbers game. The more you have of a person, the more you're going to have whatever it may be, good or bad. I mean, that's just silly. If you got more black people in an area than white people, of course there are going to be more black criminals, so there's more people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just if you have an area that's just all white people and just minimal blacks, well, you're going to have more white crime than you're going to have with the black crime. I mean, it just doesn't make a bit of sense. And most crimes that happen anyway happen within your own neighborhood, no matter
what race. And it's against your own race.
Yeah,
so.
You don't see a bunch of that, you know, the black people going to the white neighborhood, the white people going to the black neighborhood, or vice versa. You know, you don't see that all the time. But, yeah, the media, any little incident that happens with black people, they want to make sure to say this is the violent nature of black people.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these black women. They don't want us to be like human beings. That's why, you know, when you have a Trayvon Martin situation or you have a Rekia Boyd or you have a Renisha McBride, which is the recent one,
mm-hmm.
How is it that you have sympathy for the killer and something's wrong with the black woman? And what the media does, they was already trying to do it to Renisha. I mean, did you hear what they tried to do, Ms. Gabriella?
Was it that they were saying she was drunk or something like that? Or
yeah.
They tried to spin it and make it seem like she was basically a threat, but from the evidence, it showed that she was actually leaving and then she got shot. So
Exactly. But they know this, but the thing is, oh, well, they say she was drunk, or they say, well, she had some high, she was this, she was that. There's something always wrong with the black person to make the black person not be worth anything. And look at the poor victim of this, you know, white guy. You know, he was just so scared. My thing is, if you're so scared, why do you have a weapon? If you're that scared and you're going to use it, any little thing that's going to make you jump, why have a gun?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's dangerous. You can shoot anything. You can shoot anyone. And this propaganda with this knockout game kept trying to incite fear in white folks to say, you know what, anytime you see somebody black, you go ahead and pick up a gun and shoot them because they're going to just knock you straight out. This is the messages they kept putting out there, and nobody really wanted to check them. Nobody said, hey, man, what's going on? Why y'all keep saying this stuff behind some isolated incident? And the sad part about it, Ms. Gabrielle, is that even people in our own community, they decided to do that as well, try to spin things to make it look like it's all of us. And that's really worse than anything else that, you know, we could do or pursue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing is now as a black woman, you know, how does that, you know, some of that stuff, you know, relate to you going to school, you know, what the image of black women they put out there in the media? I mean, how does that really relate, you know, to some of the things that you probably
I would just say is sometimes it's hard to be taken seriously as a black woman because around the world, the images that they get of black people are usually the stuff that you see on, like, those little when they used to have those late-night nasty music videos where they would have the tip drill video and things like that. And so the image of black people is just usually negative. And so I wouldn't even say black women especially, because we're painted out to be like these Jezebel type characters where we are just ready to tear our clothes off and have sex with whoever at any moment, or we're just the loud, boisterous, always wanting to fight somebody. So it's like either we're a sex fiend or we're just like some wild, almost mannish type of person.
Yeah. That's what they put out there, that black women are basically just wild, they're crazy, they fight. I mean, you're scared of them. Like, they basically want to label basically the hood rats as the face of black women. Yeah, the hood rats. Like, black women do not go to college. Black women do not get married. Black women do not have families. No, they don't do none of that. They can't be friends. They can't be great friends to you. They can't be, you know, anything. They've got to be just somebody horrible to you. So let me get this first call. Let me go ahead and answer that one here. Area code 843, you're on the show.
Hey, Divash, how you doing?
How you doing, sir? What's your name?
Oh, my name is Chris.
Calling oh, good on, Chris.
Oh, nothing much. Yeah, I heard you mention about the propaganda. I just posted on your wall that you're saying that you're doing a show. And
mm-hmm.
this, I don't know if you heard, I don't know if you heard about the story. This woman got charged with lying of false report of being a victim of the knockout game. And this thing started me adding fuel to the fire. And
yeah, I seen that post. I seen that, brother. I seen that post that you did put up just now. Because you know, I'm on Facebook back and forth when I'm on the show, and so
yeah,
you say the woman lied.
Yep, saying her boyfriend actually beat her up, and she lied to on lies saying that three black dudes jumped her and beat her down and playing a knockout game. And they
and what's the backstory on that?
It mentioned it. I like read through it. Now, I looked through the video from what it
said. Well, I glanced at it because I can't really watch the video now, but it says a St. Louis woman who claimed to be a victim of the knockout game has been accused of lying to police. St. Louis Metro Police said that the woman was not a victim of the knockout game, was actually punched by her boyfriend. The young woman claimed to be a victim and showed news for her injuries. She said someone in a crowd knocked her to the ground as she and her boyfriend were leaving the South City Bar. Authorities said her claims did not add up or fit the motives to other knockout game crimes in the area, so they decided to dig deeper. That's when police discovered the false allegations. Police even said the couple was never in the bar in South City. Police charged both Ashley DePew, 23, and her boyfriend Justin Sims, 25, for making a false report to police. They also said this case has absolutely no connection to the knockout game. So here we go again. This is a common thing that happened in the past. You know, your boyfriend or your husband do something to you, blame it on black dudes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a white female. Oh, I'm gonna do this video. Don't worry about that. I'm gonna download it. Thank you for telling me, because I got something to say about that. I'm trying to start that mess all over again. That's the type of stuff, you know, got Emmett Till killed and a lot of other people killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, creating racial tension and causing, you know, people to get innocent people to get killed and being, you know, nervous of, you know, being around black dudes and wondering if they want to shoot them. I remember you done a video about that white guy beat him down, beat that mentally ill boy down there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. It just.
But like
it
I was telling Miss Gabriella, but I was telling Miss Gabriella at the beginning of the show, the reason why I titled it the way I did about he was the latest victim of the knockout game, I did that because when black kids was doing that in isolated incidents, not all over the country, not tons of incidents. Like this one lady was telling me in my comment section, this white guy did the exact same thing. I wanted to see the same outrage. I wanted to see Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, all other people on every media. I want them to talk about him too and say this knockout game needs to stop. But I guarantee you they will not show that particular video clip, and it was sad that brother was like, you know, why did he hit me? I mean, it was so sad to watch that, and it just really pissed me off, because why are you going to pick on somebody that's, you know, mentally handicapped? Why would you do that? And he was a coward, because he know good well if he saw some brother standing there that there was about something, he would have walked on the other side of the stove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what? Some of the videos they show the same videos over and over again. And I know that video where this show, that guy hitting, I think it was supposed to be an Asian woman. That happened in London. This name is something other, Adeoeli. He was from London.
Yeah, I remember because I put, and this is the killing part about it, man. Like, I put that video up, like, I say, okay, because somebody sent it to me, like, maybe a few days prior. And they say, man, somebody actually got shot behind this stuff. And that's when the incidents were starting to happen. And the reason why I originally even talked about it in a video prior to that, because I say, okay, you got some brothers actually talking about this stuff that's actually going on, so I'm going to kind of say something about it, you know, say, listen, just don't do this. And I put the first video up. When I put the second video up about that kid, I say, okay, reason why I want to put this video up is to let these kids know, stop doing that, because, you know what I'm saying, something could happen to you. Somebody gets shot. Because I remember when that video, you talking about that other one that knocked that woman out, and he was in London. But they tied all that in a news piece with that. And, you know, I just did a little short video, no different than I did anything else. And, you know, like I was saying in that video this week, you know, that video just jumped up to millions of views, like quick. I say, what in the world is that just coming from? You know what I'm saying? And you just seen all these racists, man. I mean, these racists was just going crazy.
Yeah, some of them say, go out and let's have a blackout. Let's just kill every black. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, if I didn't, man, it's like this. If I did not block out racial slurs against black people on that comment thread in my blacklist, y'all would have seen so many racial comments. That's why some people say, oh, well, you should let them do it because it proves your point. But my thing is, it bothers some people, too. They don't want to come to a thread and seeing, you know, you nigger, and all these names. I've just learned Nig-Nog and Nigs and all kind of, I mean, all these names.
Man.
I had to, and every time they came to my page doing that, I had to, like, add that to the particular comment thread in the blacklist so I can block out these races. Because, I don't think people, when they come to my videos, want to see all that. They don't want to see all these racists leaving comments, man. I mean, we as black people don't sit up there and go to their page and be leaving stuff.
It's like, I don't know, it's like for some reason it's got a tension to want to kill black children. Because you come to think about it, that knockout game is a way to justify the killing of Trayvon and Renisha McBride.
Exactly. They
can just justify it. I don't know, the media and the propaganda politics, they go hand in hand, and you know, by them using that, they can justify the killing of black children, making it seem like if I missed a meeting, or a lot of blacks had a meeting to go to, and say, okay, let's play a knockout game, just attack random whites. Which is, I must have missed the meeting, but hey, it seemed like they must have a meeting that we all out to attack whites, which isn't true. And come to think about it, I have to find out that black crime actually kind of down to a degree. I find that out. It actually went down because if black-on-black crime were to happen, then we 12% of the population. And from what it did, to only 1% of the 12% population is committed black crime, which means most of the time when blacks commit a crime, it used to be against each other.
Exactly. As you mentioned that, bro, I'm a pull at the FBI statistics up as we talking about all this stuff, because I did that before on a video, and even when I brought out statistics from the FBI, they still, and I was proven in a video that black people do not commit all the crimes. These racists still wouldn't accept it. Still would not accept. Well,
I think that they're just so set in their ways. They don't. I mean, you could really present fact after fact after fact, but if somebody is really, if they've been indoctrinated with black people are beneath you their whole life, there's nothing that you can say to really to sway them.
My thing is, I like to show facts. My thing is, reason why I like to show facts, let me see if I can pull this stuff up, it's because you can't debate it. No matter what you say, you can't debate it. I won't even debate you on anything if you're going to sit up here and try to come up with, oh, well, you know, per capita. Man, forget your per capita, dude. What is that supposed to mean? Like, you're looking at just raw numbers. That's it. Like I'm looking at the raw numbers from 2012, like right now. And according to all these talking heads in Fox News and all these other ones that, you know, we are the most violent people ever, well, then why is it that, according to the FBI, you have 6.5 million arrests that's white and 2.6 million arrests that's black? How is that? And out of the what? How many we have in America? 41 to 43 million blacks, and you got that many arrests, and that's not even talking about the repeat offenders that's arrested multiple times. I mean, how is it that we commit most of the crimes? That's what I don't get. And they talking about percent distribution. Now, check this out. They talking about the percentage. Black people, hold on, let me get back to it. Black people do 28.1% of the crimes, and whites do 69.3% of the crimes. So how is it that we are so dangerous.
How is it? And yet, if you ask them how many black folks attack you, some of them say no. Many of them, they'll lie and say, add a black man, dude. Then they come up with a story and kind of mix it up. I don't know, just like, I don't dislike nobody. You know, I got some white friends, but, I mean, right now, I kind of being afraid of being right near whites right now. Because, you know, they might think that, you know, I'm a...
I mean, if we study history, okay, let's just go by history alone. History up until now. I should be afraid of white folks, white males, I'm going to say. I should be petrified of them.
They might
if I look at history, the Native Americans should be petrified of what they're going to do, and they should be playing whatever game they want to play to deal with them. The Mexicans should feel the same way, and us. We all three of us should feel the same way based on history. Because nobody even talked about the atrocities of the Native Americans. We talk about what happened to us. But, man, I seen the other day on Facebook something I've never seen before. There was of a picture of a Native American Indian. And, you know, I always heard that a lot of them died by smallpox, and a lot of people said that the colonial settlers used a lot of biological weapons to kill the Native Americans. And what they did was took smallpox, like sheets, infected with smallpox, and give them, like, these blankets so they say, oh, you can cover yourself with. But it was full of smallpox. They were giving these people smallpox. They showed this one Indian I saw on Facebook full of smallpox, man. Oh, I could not believe that. And this was deliberately done to these Indians. 100 million Indians were killed by these colonial settlers. And now so what they did to them, almost wiped these people out, and the ones they couldn't wipe out, they put them on a reservation. You know what I'm saying? It's sad, man. It's sad.
Yeah, and they almost.
But we are the most violent.
Mm-hmm. We're the most dangerous.
We should be afraid of. It should be us.
I mean, they tried to take us out. I'm not saying all, but some of them, like, you know, to justify superiority, try to take us out with the eugenics program.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like you say about that, I've been know about that long time ago because I had a history teacher told me about the Black Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And what it come to find out. I haven't found none of that story in the history book since I've been in college. That's when I found out about Black Wall Street. But look at the history, but they talk about slavery, the Dr. King and everything, but they never talk about some of the genocide about it. And from what I heard, they plan on taking slavery out of the history book because they don't want to make white feel guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I heard even in Texas, they want to say that slaves were like interns.
We chose to be there.
Yeah, unpaid interns. Like, no, call it what it is. They were slaves. They was beaten. They was tortured. They was raped. They was pillaged. Their heritage taken away from them. Talk about it for what it is. I mean, don't sit here and just take away from slavery and everything. But see, it's our responsibility to teach our history because it's a lot of people putting the history out here for us. I mean, you don't even have to go like, I mean, man, just in Facebook alone, I've learned so much. All you got to do is start liking certain pages. They'll give you all the history you want. So it's not like the material's not out there. We must educate our own children because they want our children and even white children. Because, see, this is sad. They don't want even white children to know the truth. It's not, I mean, let's throw out the black folks part of it. They don't want white kids to know. So, you know, at one point in time, we used to get mad when white folks would say, well, slavery was bad, but it's not that bad. And we would get offended. But think about who taught them that, though. I mean, they were taught that, yeah, slaves, but, yeah, Martin Luther King. They really weren't taught about alligator babies. You know what I'm saying? You know you know about alligator babies, right?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, well, it would take little – I mean, imagine your mind, a little baby, a little black baby, and they would take this black baby, a little infant, and throw it to alligators for bait in Louisiana.
Yeah, I heard Florida. It happened around here. I heard about that happening.
Yeah, in Louisiana and Florida for sure. Black kids was called alligator babies. They don't want to teach that in the history books because it makes them look like, you know, devils. I mean, I got to call it what it is. This is the history we talking about here, and this goes along with the propaganda. How is you going to sit here and say that the most, you know, victimized people? Yeah, you know, we and the Indian, we both victimized. We are the most dangerous people, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're the most dangerous.
And I'm looking for,
how many incidents did we ever, would we really as a whole try to fight back? For the most part, blacks usually try to do, to handle things peacefully. So I don't see why, I mean, I understand the reason why they're doing it, but to sit there and paint us as the most dangerous individuals, because like they'll have shows like Gangland, and I actually like the show, but it almost makes, because if you see like the white gangs on there, it's like, oh, well, they're just bikers, and they only fight amongst themselves. They don't really hurt anybody. But when they have, like, a black gang or they have a Latino gang on there, it's like, oh, they're just terrorizing the whole city. Everybody's scared.
Yeah, that's the way they put it out. And you know how they always like to say, oh, black, telling white women that black men, they're going to rape you. Well, how is it if black men's going to rape all these white women, then forcible rape, white men were arrested 9,000 times and black men 4,500 times. And so basically white men are 65% is on the rape side and we are 32.5%. But yet it's told that black men do us all the raping. According to the
That's crazy because black women are actually the most raped women. I don't know if it's worldwide or not. But because of the way that we are overly sexualized in the media, black women are usually the targets of rape.
Well, black women don't report a lot of rape, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's
because
it's
almost considered shameful in the black community. So
yeah,
happen though.
Yeah, a lot of black women are raped. Oh yes, they are. The only thing is a few numbers that black folks I'm looking at is like what they can argue with. It's like robbery. Black folks do more robbing than anybody. That's for sure. When it comes to murder and non-negligent homicide, black folks do their head maybe about 102 murders. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. But if you think about the robbing and the murdering, that comes from poor economic conditions and the things that go on in some of these black neighborhoods. So that really is about right. That goes hand in hand. But everything else, like, you know, you got arson, you got other assaults, I mean, you got fraud, embezzlement, you know, I mean, all this stuff. Oh, and gambling. How is it that we busted so much for gambling? That's what I want to know. And white people ain't busted for gambling? How is it we do 67% of the gambling? I'm still trying to figure that out. You're arresting black folks for gambling.
They're shooting dice.
I guess we'd be shooting dice and arresting. Oh, but check this out. Driving under the influence. 800,000 arrests for white and 100,000 arrests for black. Driving under the influence means alcohol. It means prescription drugs, stuff like that. It says liquor laws. 275,000 for white, 46,000 for black. They break more liquor laws. Drunkenness, 324,000. Only 62,000 for black. I mean, so basically according to their statistics, FBI statistics, white people are more drunk. But yet, it's us. We drinking all the 40s and shoot. Y'all know we're getting well by 40s. I don't know if Ms. Gabriella know. But you know about 40s. There's not enough liquor in there to hardly get. You got to drink so many 40s to get drunk anyway. He ain't like.
Well, I know what a 40 is, but
yeah,
I don't
know what it is. It's not like somebody going to buy a bottle of Ciroc.
I mean, it's a
little different. But you know, looking at this table, you know, it's and we go back to propaganda. Why people like Bill O'Reilly will not put this out? You know what I'm saying? Talk about this. Say this is the statistics. Based on, and then, but what platform would Fox News have if they go on these statistics alone? Think about it. They couldn't say we are the most dangerous people.
And they never talked about that at all. You know, but at first, because I think it was on Fox News and all that, but we didn't bore a lot about that. You know, remember that Austin bombing? It's honestly a dark skinned, you know, African American man did it. And I looked up and said, you know, that I'm not trying to put nothing past anybody, but I'm just saying, you know, that was how like, what black person do make chemicals and things. I don't know about that. But what it's going to find out, it was like these two guys, they kind of stopped talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ain't hearing hardly no more about that Boston, you know, we call it the Boston Marathon bombing. I ain't hearing any more about it.
Yeah, they,
so
yeah, they did. Yeah, they didn't talk about that too much after that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Because at first, they start going on and on and on heavy on it. Because I remember when they said this, it was a dark-skinned man that, you know, started bombing a dark-skinned African-American man, male, and be on the lookout for him. And that's why they start looking at brothers. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like, then when you find out that,
well, dark-skinned black men are actually the most targeted. And statistically, I mean, there's a lot of dark-skinned black men that are falsely imprisoned. And I don't know if you've seen the Black in America special that they did a long time ago. They're talking about how the amount, I mean, there is very, very few light-skinned black men in prison. For the most part, they're usually dark-skinned, you know, the stereotypical dark-skinned, muscular, bald-head black man. Like, that's the, I think that's, like, the epitome of just masculinity. So those are the ones that are usually thrown up and thrown in jail for nothing.
I mean,
yeah,
they're
afraid
of black men like that. They're so afraid of, you know, especially if they're smart and got a mouthpiece over there, afraid of that.
Exactly. They're afraid of us, and then also they know that we have the ability to wipe them out genetically. Also, now this is something I was watching the other day, and they keep it quiet about this. Ms. Gabrielle, I know you've been hearing about that organ harvesting, huh?
No, I haven't heard about organ harvesting.
Oh, yeah, they've been killing black people and other people from other countries and stealing their organs.
When did this happen?
Oh, shoot, this is the big thing. See, that's why I kind of held back on the Kendrick, what's that brother's last name, Kendrick Johnson, what is his name? The one that was in the gym mat?
That young boy.
Well, when it was autopsy, it was a bunch of cover-up with that. He was killed, but when they had a private autopsy done, and they found out that he was stuffed, his organs was taken out, and he was stuffing newspaper.
Hmm.
Yeah, I saw, like, I don't know if you know that brother, Afro Synergy. I don't know, you remember him?
Yeah, I've seen his videos.
Okay, I like his videos. I mean, he has some really informative stuff. And he was showing us a bunch of cases where black kids and other black people were killed and their organs were stolen. They took their organs out. And they said a lot of it's black market organ harvesting, and recently the FBI has just arrested some bunch of rabbis in the New York, New Jersey area because they are the Jews are big on this organ harvesting. It's like a hub now over there. And you know, go ahead.
Oh yeah, they mentioned what you just said. They mentioned that in Hidden Colors about they taking people. I thought part two of Hidden Colors, taking organs of a lot of Africans and using that to gain a body so they can have what we call it one of those. It's the body, the part of get an increase of the melanin. It has to do with melanated something similar to it. And not all of us, but a low birth weight. And whites are very, very low throughout the world, in Europe, even in Europe. And birth rates for blacks are higher. And like you just say about them being feared genetically wiping out, I think that's the cause of it.
Yeah, because how they was putting it is like they realizing, I mean, how he was saying it was can't make sense. They realizing that, you know, their numbers are constantly dwindling. And they're dying off, and they can't figure out how we live so long as black people and how, you know, everything about us, no matter what you do to us, we still, you know, thrive. We still live a long life. We have good genes or whatever. So he was saying that some of these people, what they're figuring out, maybe they have different organs, and maybe we steal their organs and put them in us and extend our life.
Oh, Lord. I mean, the reason why black – I don't know why they should just stop wasting their time with that. Because the reason why a lot of black people in America, I'm not going to say we live longer, but we're usually more resistant to certain things. Because during, you know, in the Middle Passage, when they brought slaves over on the boat, a lot of people died. And the only people that could survive are the people that had slower metabolisms and the people that could live on basically the filth and the slop that they were being given. And you have to be just, there has to be something in you that just makes you more more resistant to disease. And if you know anything about blood types, most Africans have blood type O, and they're more resistant to getting sick. And so those people that were able to survive the harsh environment of the Middle Passage and the harsh treatment and slavery, they breed it with each other. And then that's how, you know, Black Americans are, I wouldn't say we're just the most resistant now, but it's just genetics, really. It's just the positive traits being passed down over generations.
Well, like I said, and also, you know, this thing's just, like you said, genetics is just on our side a little bit more. But the thing is, why hate us so much? The thing is, we you know, are people too. Why put out there like we don't want to, you know, like they put out there that all Black women are single mothers, propaganda, okay? They put out all Black men are deadbeat fathers. Are we in jail? Are we some local drug dealer? Are we, you know, in a gang somewhere? You know, why can't they advertise, you know, the truth? And so I'm looking at an article right now. This is the truth about Black people. They say there are 43 million Black people in the United States, 13.7% of the population, the second largest racial minority in the country. The median age is 32, and 47% on the 35 years of age. And they say even with these impressive numbers and buying power, most mainstream advertisers are not inclusive, do not include African Americans in the media and marketing plans, and have underestimated the marketing size. Now, in this one, it's stating, as I go further down, that, you know, talking about that $1.1 trillion buying power that Black people will have by 2015. If we are so low class, if we are so criminals and all this other stuff you want to say about us, how is it we can have a $1.1 trillion buying power? That tells you one thing. We are going to college. We are applying ourselves. We're not committing crimes. Like you say, of course, we got the numbers to back that up. We're not committing all these crimes that you see on television. It's stating here that according to a study, between 2000 and 2009, the number of African Americans attending some college or earning degrees has grown. 45% of men and 54% of women in households earning $75,000 or more grew by more than 60% faster than the rest of the population. African Americans' average income nationwide is $47,290. So what that tells us is that we are going to school, as I stated, we're applying ourselves, and we have more people making $75,000 or more today than we ever had, and it's growing rapidly. So with this propaganda as we talk about, why aren't you talking about that? How is it that they basically what you're saying is we, out of all the people in this nation, our money has jumped up more than everybody.
And if we, and they do find that all of us are, a lot of us are thriving, they undermine us and either try to mess us up.
Exactly.
We are coming up just like you do with like Black Wall Street. And to mention, not just, you know, yeah, with that. And when they do show, and they show evidence of that, you know, because I told someone on YouTube, I want to comment, I say, well, I'm Black, I never killed him, but I went to school, and you know, I'm working, and I never steal anything. And I'm never, you know, of course, you know, I never did this or that. And the third, they're like, well, you about 1% of, you probably like very, very, very few out of, I quit talking after that.
Yeah, I mean, how is it you know you just very few? That's my thing. Like, how is it that you know, that's funny. Every time we have something good to say, well, you know, you one of the rare ones or you one of the good ones. You're not like the rest of them. They like to mind screw you on that too, you know, to get you thinking you better than your own people. And some of us take that hook, line, and sinker. Like, why would you even say, I get offended if you say, well, you know, you're different. You know, I didn't like Black people before, but I met you. You know, you're different. And like, God, I get offended by that. You know what I'm saying?
How about so I say, you know, you're different because you race, you know, you're not racist. Look at all the right. How you feel about that? I tell them that. and if blacks have that many problems, I mean, if we had a problem, tell us what the solution is. What should be the solution? They're going to say nothing like that. I mean, they just want to. Somebody told me, an older guy who's a mentor, he says, talk. You can't have a decent conversation with them. talking with them about that, you know, and about politics, you know, about, you know, whatever. It's like them holding their finger in the ear and just talking.
Yeah, exactly.
When they kind of, there's no point in arguing. That's why I just shake my head, just shake, because someone, they just, I don't know.
Some people crazy. They think we can't discuss politics. They think we can't discuss nothing. All we know is what Young Jeezy or Chief Keef's talking about. That's all. Or all the women. All they know is either
twerking and fighting and having.
Twerking or acting like a world star chick, or what's new on world star. I mean, love and hip hop. That's all they think that. You know, we know nothing else. And some of us don't even like love and hip-hop.
I don't even look at that stuff. That's just crazy to sit there and put everybody in that category. It's almost like they like to paint minorities with this broad stroke brush and say we all do all these things when, for the most part, I can ask any black – I mean, for the most part, I know a lot of black women that I associate with, and they don't even have time to look at – but they don't have time to look at television. Because they're so busy trying to make their own businesses and things like that. So that's completely ridiculous to me. But like we said, but they'll sit there and then they'll have a television show like, I can't remember that show. Remember the one, that show that had Larry the Cable Guy on there? It was like that, it was like this show about just like country white people long time ago. And they also have that show like Honey Boo Boo. And they'll just say, oh, well, that's just them, you know.
Yeah.
But if they had a black family that had, like, let's just say it was Little Bone Queequee or something, the black Honey Boo Boo, they would just say that's all black people.
It's sad. Like, yeah, we can't, you know, I'm trying to type this right now to ask this question. You know, why black people, you know, don't get the individuality clause? You know, we don't.
You know, all black folks are like this, or they animals. So I be seeing, like, since that Malcolm X period come, I be seeing something like monkeys, coons, the animals, you know, of course, niggas, they all should die. They all should go back to Africa. I'm like, wow. I'm like, their true colors actually came out. But I wonder what they're going to say about that video right there.
You know what I thought about, man? You know, I thought about it one day. What if we all did go back to Africa? I mean, seriously, what if we did? What if we just all got on some planes, every last one, all 43 million or whatever us, and go back to Africa, and we just leave them here? You know, my thing is,
would collapse the economy. That's what would happen.
What?
Yeah, America be bankrupt.
It would collapse the economy. Because they survive on, I mean, for the most part, black people are the ones that are buying everything. Because we don't really have a lot of black-owned businesses. We usually go outside of our community to buy things. And so if we were to pack up everything, well, number one, it's a dumb idea to pack up and go to Africa because there isn't really that much there. Two, but that's besides the point. I mean, other communities really do rely on the black dollar. They say that we don't have any money, but why is it that they'll have a Chinese beauty supply store, they'll have a little kebab stand, or they'll have, you know, an Arab a corner store, and then they'll have
Chinese,
you know, the laundry service and everything else. So they'll come into our communities and they rely heavily on the black dollar. They'll be looking at us all funny, looking us up and down, thinking we're gonna steal something, but they still rely on our business.
Exactly. But, you know, like I said, the hypothetical, we all did what the racists wanted, go back to Africa. I mean, you know, you let them have it, let them have it. Think about it. You know, they will start attacking. You know who will be left for them to attack? They'll start attacking Hispanics. That's what they'll attack. Because, you know, they're going to attack somebody. They got to blame somebody for their problems. They never can take responsibility for their problems. I mean, think about it. You wouldn't have, I mean, what music would they listen to? Because every time you look up, you got a white kid listening to, you know, the music we do. You know, like I said, they wouldn't have nothing to hardly watch on sports. Because think about it. All the brothers in the NBA, all the brothers in the NFL. Well, that was shut down. That's sport against
the old. Somebody didn't tell about what you say about blacks would have their own, like, company, like, they decide, you know. NFL, NBA, for example, and we try to have our own black community, like Negro League, they had back in the hill. Their own NBA league,
They could actually do that.
Yeah, the NBA shut down overnight, and everybody catered to, because that's like how many, who most, I ain't mean to sound like a racist appear, but who dominates sports the most? I mean, think about it.
I don't see, but this is my thing. You're talking about what you're talking about the league. Like, they can literally shut down the NBA if they wanted to. And basically just say, you know what, we want a former NBA player that's black to be the commissioner. We don't want David Stern no more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's too many brothers in the league to not even push that issue. You know, why is it you don't have a black owner? That's the thing. You got a bunch of black players, but you still on the plantation because you're not owning nothing. And see, like recently, Kanye, you know, everybody been fussing about Kanye. But Kanye been really saying some important stuff, man, that people are not paying attention to. And he was saying that, you know, yeah, we do all this stuff, but we don't own nothing. We don't have nothing. We don't distribute anything. Like he was talking about fashion and suits and all this other stuff. And he was saying you don't have no black manufacturers that's major here in the United States that's selling certain things in fashion and whatever else. We don't have it. He said it's all basically controlled by, you know, white people, Jews, whatever. And recently I just read an article that because that interview, did you see an interview he did on The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne and them?
I don't like Kanye West, so I can't stomach looking at him.
This is the thing with Kanye West. He was really talking. He was talking some stuff. Of course, you know, Charlamagne was getting at him. Mm-hmm. And now, because he was talking about, he said that, you know, the Jews control hip-hop, and he was talking about what they do. And they was like, oh, they want him to apologize now and everything he said because they're offended and all this other stuff. So now you know, I don't know what he's going to do about it. I don't know. But why is it that you can't tell the truth? It's the truth. Black folks don't own and run hip-hop. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
They make all the music, but they don't own all the labels.
We don't write the songs, though.
Do what?
I mean, we almost, the blacks in the music industry, the mainstream ones, they don't write their own music. They don't play their own instruments. All they do is basically just lip sync when they go to concerts. That's the only role they really have.
I mean, and it's sad. It's my thing is, I don't know why they won't take ownership of nothing. Like, they could take over all the industries that we major in. We could take it over overnight by simply saying, you know what? We're not rapping. We ain't ball playing. We ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, but they don't want to lose their money. So
yeah, they're scared to lose their money because they don't appropriate their funds right. And they still, like I say, working on the plantation themselves instead of owning. Like, there's no reason for black men not to own the NBA or the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Jordan tried to come in and get some money in the team, or Jay-Z tried to come in and do it too, you know, with the NBA. They had a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of using that, instead of exposing the lid on the NBA, that's what they should have did, using their celebrities to do that. And put pressure on them to let more black owners come in. They, you know, Jay-Z, he kind of plays by the book too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look at that Barney's deal that happened with him. They were saying all this bad. How is it you got a store that treated two black people this way, and yet you're still affiliated with it?
The thing is that the reason why a lot of people don't want to come out about things like this. Is that they, I mean, you see what happened to Michael Jackson when he died. The reason why you said it got cut off.
No, the catalog. You know, he owned the Beatles catalog. I heard about that situation. He called
him
out.
Yeah, he called him out. He basically sat there and he said so many things against the industry and was saying that the dirty deals that they were doing. And then all of a sudden you get these wacko jacko stories. And then, you know, and then he died. And then he died. So they know better. They know it's like, okay, well, I can't speak up about these sort of things because I don't want to die. And I don't want my name dragged through the mud.
No, but that's sad. It's like, you know, Harry Belafonte brought out this one point recently. He said black people in this day and time is the most richest that we've ever been in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he said, we do not use our money or our celebrity to help, you know, take us over to the point where we need to be. I mean, it's like black people get this money and they feel like, oh, I ain't got to try to help out, you know, the group. I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you could see Bill O'Reilly and all the other ones in the media attacking But yeah, you don't come out. Think about if Jay-Z one time just came out against Bill O'Reilly for some of the stuff that he says about the black community. I mean, he really went at Bill O'Reilly. Let's say he made a freestyle about Bill O'Reilly. I mean, that can turn everybody's ears to Bill O'Reilly to hear what he has to say and to get at Bill O'Reilly. But see, you know, these guys are Lil Wayne or anybody. Even though you may not like Lil Wayne, Lil Wayne still has some sort of influence in society. And believe it or not, if these rappers start talking, even the white kids will start listening, believe it or not. It's not just the black folks. And that's what they don't want, because a lot of white kids listen to the rappers too. You know what I'm saying? And not all these white kids.
Yes, but they don't want the. They know that they can't do that, though.
They can't do what?
They know that if they were to speak out against that, they would probably lose every single endorsement they have. They would get thrown out of their little million-dollar mansion. And the thing is that they almost are slaves to the people that they work for. Because they have to follow certain guidelines, because they know if they really wanted to speak, it's not that they don't want to. They probably could say things if they wanted to, but they know that they're going to lose everything. So it's not worth it to them.
So it's like, okay, but see, you really haven't made it if you can be controlled. Because think about it. If I got $500 million or $300 million, ain't nothing nobody can tell me other than me following the law. But you can't tell me nothing, because I have $300 million. So I can say what I want to say. Oh, I'm going to cut your endorsement deal. I don't care about you cutting my endorsement deal. I got $300 million in the bank. Why am I worrying about your endorsement deal?
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of black celebrities don't know how to manage their money.
Yeah.
They'll sit there, and then most of the time, they're bankrupt. If you looked at the amount of money that, like, you could look at, somebody had hacked into, I think it was Beyonce's and Jay-Z's bank records. And they're really, really in debt. And it's not just them. A lot of celebrities are in debt because they spend so much money trying to keep up this image. Half the time, they're not even making all that money.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they were to lose their celebrity, they would be out in the street. But that's all they have. They don't have really any other sort of income coming in.
That's stupid.
They don't really own their own thing.
And with the media, you got to be somewhat of a puppet. You know, you can't have a lot of, we call it, You can't be opinionated, because they get at you hard and try to get at you until they take you down. You got to be somewhat of a puppet. And that's
my
What's
the point of making it, man? If you got to be a puppet, what's the point?
Because if you have very, very opinionated, man, we got at my money, you can overthrow a government. Because with that, I mean, like over $20 million range, we're the highest, mostly higher than that, like millions, you can overthrow government with that. And with that money, the right thing with it, you could like shut a lot of things down and, you know, invest in a lot of business, kind of overthrow a lot of things. That's a lot of money, and you can do a lot of trade industry with unions, with other nations and so. I mean, to them, that's like dangerous. So, you know, most of the time, you know, celebrities making, especially black celebrities, usually, when they're making, you know, a good amount of money, they can't be very opinionated. I mean, they got to, they got to be somewhat of a puppet, because they'll usually try to get at them. And,
If I'm going to make it, this is how I feel, man. If I'm going to make it, I'm going to be my own man. I'm not going to sit up here and make it or want to make it. And you telling me what to do? I gotta play by your rules. What's the point? Like I say, what's the point of having millions of dollars if you can't play by your own rules? What's the point?
Yeah, and you ever seen that movie, The Five Heartbeats, right?
Yeah, I remember that movie.
And the singers, they had money, they had fame, they had the ability to go up on top, and. Well, the thing is, it was controlled by, you know, using the white guy, and they went even farther to put, you know, the white pictures on the albums. And they actually speak up on that, and the guy who used to own, like, these stuff, you know, somewhat, then with the Five Heartbeats, they had a watchdog, I mean, what his name is? Big Red, yeah, as a watchdog, and he actually worked over a white guy to get at him, and he made sure he, like, took that guy out. And somebody mentioned, you know, stuff like that happening in real life in the music industry. I mean, if you kind of pay attention to it, you know, you can tell why. It's like that in the real music industry. Yeah, in a way, like I just say, I mean, making that much money, you gotta be, to them, you gotta be somewhat of a puppet.
Mm-hmm. They tell you to put on, if you're a man, they tell you to put on a dress, you do it. This is how it is.
And like, and that's, and why would somebody put out a doggone dress, man? Like, seriously. Like you know, they got celebrities that'll do that mess, do all kind of stuff, let them emasculate them, embarrass them, or whatever else. And third, but this is my thing. You won't let another black person embarrass you. You'll fight, you'll kill, you'll do everything.
Mm-hmm. But they'll sit there and put on a dress, or they'll dress up like a drag queen or whatever.
The only time they speak up, unless the liberal version of the media speak up on something. If your MSNBC speak up and it gets popular and trending like Trayvon Martin, then Jay-Z will say something. Then, mm-hmm. you know, President Obama will say something. But if it's not something like, a Renisha McBride, even though that was, yes, it made a lot of news. But why they won't speak up on stuff like that?
Because they can't really speak up on current events. Most celebrities don't.
Yeah, but you know, the celebrities in the past, they all did. A lot of them did. You know, I say a lot of them was involved with Martin Luther King, and a lot of them spoke up, and they were celebrities of their time, and they still spoke up.
Even
you know
Tupac
about what was going on.
But that was a different time, though.
Yeah,
nowadays
like,
you wouldn't. Like
Tupac.
Yeah, Tupac talked
that.
About a lot of stuff.
And they try to get hell on Tupac. Even, you know, some of the feminists try to get on Tupac. And Tupac actually called one of the feminist names Dolores Tucker. I mean, Tupac.
Yeah.
I mean, he got his ways about him. You know, still got his street ways about him. But he also mentioned some of the stuff about the government and the politics and the ghettos and things. And some of the some of the feminists actually gathered hell on him. And even some of the politics back then, you know, rappers like, you know, Cube, you know, Ice-T, NAA, you know, Luther Campbell, they all used to speak out on, hip-hop used to be about the community and kind of waking up
mm-hmm.
about it. They was all rapping about, you know, the community and kind of, you know, waking us up. It was like conscious rapper back in the late 80s, early 90s. That was, you know, rapping was usually about, and you know, somehow, you know, they used to get on hard on the rappers. And that's when kind of rapping kind of evolved to kind of like gangster rap and so what. And they didn't bother with the gangster rap. They didn't bother with the conscious rappers back then.
Mm-hmm.
These guys had bad charges on them indicted almost to a degree.
Well, my thing is about that, man, it's like I noticed when rap went mainstream, that's when it became a problem. Because that's when you start seeing all the conscious rappers go away. It's when it was mainstream. In other words, it's like they were noticing, okay, all these white kids are listening now. We really don't want them white kids to hear people like Public Enemy talking and people like KRS-One saying certain things. And, you know, you remember they even came together, like all the rappers that song, talking about you're headed for self-destruction, talking about the violence of the community and stuff. All the major rappers back then got together on that one thing. And that was good to see that. Give me a second. Let me see. I got a call coming in here. Erico 661, you on the show.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Been doing good. Just been busy. First time calling in the advice show.
Okay. Well, appreciate you calling in. But you got to talk about the propaganda with the media?
Oh, no, I was just seen your post on Facebook that to call in because I'm a huge fan of your channel on YouTube. I've seen a lot of your reports on daily news.
Uh-huh.
Things that what's been going on, and I like your examples you give.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. I really appreciate you watching and I try to give my perspective on how I feel at the time, but I don't want to sugarcoat nothing. But like I say tonight, you know, like on the show, we're talking about the media's propaganda. I mean, and how they, you know, spin things to divide really everybody. It's not just one group. Like we were talking about the knockout game situation. and how they want to use a few Go ahead.
I think that's pretty pathetic. The knockout game, I think that's pretty pathetic what people do, just going around hitting people for no reason.
But do you understand that there was only a few incidents? It wasn't like all over the country. Like, I live in Texas. Not one incident has happened.
Well,
you know,
I live in California, so I don't. I hardly. Some of that stuff hardly goes on where I live. But
exactly. What I'm trying to say, if it was rampant like the media tried to put it out there, it'll be all over the place in your neighborhood. It'll be here in Texas. It'll be, you know, in North Carolina where Ms. Gabriella is at. It'll be all these different states. Everybody be complaining and have all these news reports saying, hey, this guy hit this guy. And what we're talking about, the propaganda is they're trying to spin it where, oh, you know, and which is trying to make everybody be divided. Like, you know, they try to scare you with every single thing. And why is it that the media wants to divide everybody constantly? Well, we got way more problems than some idiot kids. You know, why they don't talk about when they're trying to take our rights away constantly? They want to strip our gun rights away. They don't want to talk about that. You know, they talk about how the president has been doing a lot of things against the Constitution recently with this Affordable Health Care Act. They don't talk about that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's so many things that we need to talk about. All our jobs is in China and Taiwan and Mexico and all these things. Why are we not working? Why are they not solving the economy problem? But yet they want us to focus on knockout games.
Yeah, they just want to.
That's the thing.
News just want to report on little problems, but there are other huge problems going on in the world. But yet other times there just be little things that aren't even not even worth of getting to the story.
Exactly. I mean, they constantly people don't realize that. You know, the media, you know, is controlled by the Federal Communications Commission. And if the FCC tells them, you know, don't say certain things, you got to say it this way, they're going to do it or they'll lose the FCC license.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you don't really want to get a lot of – sometimes you got to watch some of the stories that we even get from American media. I notice, you know, people like, you know, Russia Today, like RT – even Al Jazeera America actually give you some more in-depth stories than we'll get from, you know, news here. And it's sad because the government don't want them reporting on everything. And they're not talking about all this NSA spying. That's getting worse. I mean, they spying on every last one of us. They even had a report recently the NSA has been spying on watching what we say on YouTube and Facebook. I mean, everybody. And if you're saying certain things, go ahead.
I'm sorry, sir. You were talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, I say, well, think about it. I mean, why is the NSA spying on us regular Americans? We're not doing anything wrong. We're not threatening nobody. But yet, see, they're keeping all that quiet. And now that's what you need to spook people out with is that, the NSA spying. But no, you want to make an outrage about a few incidents, about some people that will go to jail if they all get dealt with, as I stated. I mean, you hit somebody, you ain't got no business, either they're going to shoot you or they beat you down, and they got a place for you called jail. So that's the end of that. But let's talk about all this NSA spying. Why are we not focused on that? Or the prison program. Why did President Obama need all the records of Verizon Wireless customers?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember learning about all this in my government econ, my senior year of high school. I remember learning about all this stuff about prisons and everything, and I agree with my econ teacher, thinking that, you know, that the president isn't, you know, with all the stuff going on, having all the money that he has, he's going to fix the problem that's going on. I mean, take a look at the Sandy Hook tragedy, for example. Did he do anything?
Nope, nothing happened out of it.
Exactly. I mean, all he did was shed tears, and I was thinking, oh, hey, you know, something was going to happen. He was going to do something about it. But sadly, no. I was expecting to, being that him being the president or anything, but all he did was just shed a few tears and showed sympathy. Nothing else.
Okay. It's just real sad that, you know, you know, that the media sit here and want to just, instead of focus on the things that should help everybody, And, you know, we have freedom of the press for the reason of just reporting what's going on with the government, what's going on in society. And, you know, everything has now an agenda. And that's the thing. We talk about this media propaganda. They want to divide people by race. They want to divide people by class. They want to divide us by gender, you know, all kind of other things. You know, and instead of...
Racism,
you know,
is one thing I won't stand for. That's, if you're talking about, like... Because a lot of videos I've watched on your channel is, like, mm-hmm. due to, like, racism and everything, and that's one thing I cannot stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Is those kind of people who are racist and, you know, think that, that aside every, like, race or gender and discrimination and everything, they can just push those people aside like they're trash on the street. And I just think that's a load of...
And personally, I hate those videos, you know, but a lot of times these videos will not, or these stories will not get a lot of attention sometimes unless you put them in social media, because the media is reporting when things like that happen. But, you know, you got things like, you say, knockout game and get national attention, but certain stories, you know what I'm saying, that should get an attention don't get the attention.
People just think that they can go straight to the media and say, oh, little story's going on. I got to make this as big as possible. But it doesn't mm-hmm. deserve as big as publicity as it should.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But let me give me a second. So I got some other calls that's coming in. Let me give me a second. Error code 281.
Oh,
hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm just trying to catch up. What's the topic for today?
You should have asked me.
Oh, okay. Ms. Gabriella, you want to respond to that?
That's what you should have asked me.
I'm at the gym.
Wow.
So we're talking about media propaganda and how the media likes to spin things against minorities to try to divide people, basically.
Okay. I'll chime in when I feel ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they got another, let me see, another caller here. I want to let him in. Error code 256, you're on the show.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. What's on your mind by the topic?
I can see a change in seeing that you were talking about celebrities and, you know, their social...
Okay, sister, give me a quick second. Hey, Derek.
Yes.
Hey, man, I hear all that weightlifting back there, brother.
Oh, okay, I'm going to put it on mute.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, sister, so you're saying about the celebrities? Okay, what's your opinion on that?
I think personally that, you know, celebrities, they may refuse to speak out on social issues, maybe because... you know, how the public will react. You know, it might hurt their reputation and it might not. So maybe some of them choose to play it safe by not, you know, saying anything or getting involved on certain issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you feel, so why, okay, if they have millions of dollars, let's say that you have millions of dollars, you made it, you can buy anything you want, houses, cars, whatever. Why do you feel you need? Why would you feel you need to play it safe if you already made it? You got money in the bank. You got it all. They can't take it from you.
I honestly don't know. I mean, if I were a celebrity, you know, and I had all that money, I would get involved. But I would think that's the reason why some of them don't get involved.
Okay, so you think you get involved because they don't handle the appropriate funds correctly?
No, it has nothing to do with their funds, but maybe they feel no need to. I mean, if I were a celebrity, you know, I would speak my mind on certain things, and I know I would be heard more because, you know, I have that big platform and I can reach more people than the average person.
Yeah. Because, like I said, we were talking about earlier different artists from back in the day. We were talking about music, like... You're talking about people like Public Enemy, like rappers. Even when Queen Latifah first started out, before what she or is today, she talks about issues that happened, you know, different, you know, community. Or you remember They talked about hunger. All the artists that did it, We Are the World, you know, everybody came together to do that one song. I know you remember that song, right?
Yeah, even though I was a little kid, I was born in 92, so I still don't remember too much of
that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, when that came out. Well, no, was that before you? Before 92?
No.
Oh, yeah, we Are the World song, that was in the 80s.
Oh, I mean, I heard
about
stuff
that was beyond our time.
Yeah, well, no, we'll say, yeah, when Michael Jackson and them came together.
I seen it, but that was not my time. Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was in 85. It came out in 85.
I was not even thought of yet.
Yeah, you weren't even thought of yet. Well, if you have a chance to go to YouTube, just type in We Are the World. It's back in 85. And all these artists came together. You had Stevie Wonder, Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson. I mean, you had artists from all genres came together for that one song, using their celebrity to talk about hunger in Africa. That's what I'm saying. That's the things that they should do. But in this day and time, when have you ever seen them come together and do anything? Except for, donate money to Haiti, donate money to Katrina. I mean, like, why does something have to happen?
I don't think they care. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it. They care.
They don't really, because this is really, if you've never experienced poverty, then how would you really know what it feels like to, like, if you've never gone hungry and your parents always gave you everything? Because for the most part, these celebrities, they don't start out in the industry when they don't wait until they're 20 years old and they run to California and go to an audition and make it. Usually they start out they know, like, their parents are friends with certain people, and they get started out in the industry when they're, like, young, like 8 to 12. And so a lot of them have never really gone through the things that we normal Americans have gone through. And so they don't really sympathize with us because they don't know what it's like. And so they don't care. And I'm not going to say that makes them bad people. It's just that I can't relate to having AIDS and starving and dying in Africa because that's never been my life.
Yeah, but I can't relate to somebody dying of cancer, but it don't mean I can't say, you know what, man, I need to help somebody out with their cancer treatment. Because, I mean, you know, these people, you know, maybe it could be life or death for them if I can afford to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, why you have to go through something to relate to it? I mean, you're a human being. That's relatable enough. And usually celebrities don't get involved enough to somebody in their family dies of something. Then all of a sudden they want to have a research foundation for bone marrow or, you know, whatever it may be.
Ironically, you know, a lot of rappers, they talk about in their songs how, you know, they struggle and stuff. So you would think that, you know, they would probably want to do something.
Exactly. Now, some of them, like, you know, like, what is it? I seen on, I think it was World Star a few days ago. Young Jeezy was feeding a bunch of people Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's great that he's doing. You know, some of these rappers are doing things, but, you know, the thing is that, you know, what more can they do to, you know, help? I don't know. I just feel that to whom much is given, much is required. That's just how I feel. I'm sorry. If I got millions of dollars, then it's my job to help out, you know, those, you know, who are less fortunate than me. I mean, because it's like, if I can take, okay, you can take $100,000 and you can give a bunch of kids scholarships with that. I mean, think about it. You could. Kids, that really good kids that's in, you know, some bad situations. And they get their grades and everything. They just need that little push. What's wrong with doing that? I don't see what's wrong with doing that.
Well, they want to take that money and go buy clothes and spend $100,000 on two outfits. So
yeah, or a car.
Or go to a strip club.
Or the strip club, exactly.
Make it rain.
I mean, look at all the money Mayweather go waste. He go waste that kind of money. He carry millions of dollars with him in cash. You know what I'm saying? Some of these guys, you should see the videos on YouTube these guys make just throwing cash like it ain't nothing. I'm like, it tripped me out when Mayweather did it. I see Mayweather, he carries $1 million in a bag with him everywhere he goes.
Okay, and when he's bankrupt, I'm going to be laughing too. So
it's going to be kind of hard to bankrupt Money Mayweather, though, because that dude was smart with his stuff. I mean, he just don't box. He's a fight promoter, too. So that's why he's making all that money. He don't have to fight no more if he don't want to.
We'll see. I'm just saying. Cause I seen a rapper that he was always bragging about how, I think he said he never wore the same thing twice and he would throw stuff away. Instead of giving his stuff away, because he had like closets full of new clothes and shoes and stuff, he would wear it one time and throw it away because he didn't want to be seen in it again. So people like that, I mean, their day does come.
I guess so. I mean, the kind of money Floyd Mayweather got, you got to be silly. But
it can happen.
It can happen. But they say Floyd to go to the strip club and just be dropping $8,000, you know, like it ain't nothing. $8,000 or more in a strip club.
That's the biggest waste of money, but
that's
off topic. But it's just a big waste. I've never understood the concept of going to a strip club. You go there and throw money on the floor.
Yeah, it's silly. I say what? Go ahead. I guess they want to go support these girls going to college, I guess. I guess that's their charity.
No, that's, you know what? You're not going to get that's crazy, because if you want to make money, there's legitimate ways of making money. If you're a college student, you could go to like one of those really, go to the really nice areas of town and put up an ad and say, hey, I'm a college student. I need... I'm in need of money. I'll be a babysitter, or I'll clean your house, or whatever. I mean, you don't have to be a stripper. I can't stand when girls say, "Oh, well, I need money for college." We'll get it. I mean,
well, let me ask you a question, Ms. Gabriella. Do you know anybody you go to college with that's a stripper?
Yeah, a lot of girls.
A lot of girls do that and pay for their college. You go to, that's crazy.
They strip because they say, "Oh, well, I can't." They're like, "Oh, well, you make a lot of money," and I'm like, "Okay, well." I wouldn't be the one. It wouldn't be me.
Crazy. I don't get how women could do that, because I would want a bunch of people just acting a fool, a bunch of, you know, gawking and everything else, and treating you like you're just not even human. I mean, how could a woman be comfortable with that? Guys just slapping them on their butt, grabbing them, and all this other stuff. Then, you know, you could have this guy that's a stalker, you know, trying to stalk you and follow you home. And
it's not even that. It's the stigma that you get later on in life. That's the reason why I'm really not going to ever do it. Because especially in an internet age, all these pictures that people will post up without you even looking, you won't even be looking, and people will be taking pictures of you and posting you all over the internet. So if you decide that you want to branch out and do something else later on in life, people will pull up pictures from 3-4 years ago and say, oh, I saw you as a stripper. And, or, you know... Or maybe if he wanted to get married to somebody, he might find those pictures and say, eh, I don't want to be with you. So it's not worth it. But to get back to the topic.
What you going to say, sister?
I was going to say, well, you know, a lot of it is glorified now. Like, a lot of, especially, you know, to young females, they see, like, you know, what's Tiger's baby mama, you know, Black China. You know, and females like that. They're marrying all these rappers.
Boy, everybody's talking about Black China, boy. I've heard her name everywhere. I mean, so many women mention her. A lot of women mention her.
Mm-hmm.
Is she the new girl that everybody wants to be like?
I mean, there's a lot of girls that want to be just like her. So she
replaced Nicki now?
I guess. Because there's a lot of Black girls, young Black girls, that want to be strippers just because they see... strippers and video vixens, because they see all these girls on Instagram with these nice clothes and nice hair and this glamorous lifestyle, and they say, man, why don't I do that? Forget college. I can just, you know, I can just go and make a quarter, you know, I can make like $1,000 a night, and I don't really have to do that much work.
Say, I don't know, I just can't say how they do that. And then that lasts for so long. That's the thing. I mean, these females, like you say, you know what I'm talking about on Facebook, Instagram. These females are doing all this stuff for free, too, though. That's, at least the chicks at a strip club, at least they're getting paid. These chicks online don't get paid a dime. Nothing. Nope. You know, and these do it for likes, do it for comments, for hits. And hopefully, if they get their little video up on Worldstar, they don't know how to act.
And that's the funny thing. Is that at least if you're going to do something like that, either monetize your video or something so that you at least it's worth it. But no, and then they don't ever, I guess they think that's how they're going to get put on or they're going to get discovered, because there are some, I think her name was Sultry Simone, and she got to become an urban model because her videos were online. So they think that's the route. They just make a couple of twerk videos and then get on WorldStar, and then it just takes off from there. That's how they think. I mean, that's what they want their careers to be, because they see women living this you know, lavish lifestyle. They're like, it just seems so easy.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm going to tell you what. I noticed this stuff went crazy. All these females with it, when them girls twerk team came out. Them girls came out and put their videos up on YouTube. I noticed after that it was a wrap. Mm-hmm. But they actually made somebody themselves. They traveling here, traveling there. They getting paid all kind of money. I guess that's what these girls look at. Oh, they started off doing that on YouTube and look where they're at now. Or this chick started off as rapper's baby mama, and look where she's at now. You know, she's on Love and Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what these girls are aspiring to, and that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
To either be a twerker, a stripper, or a baby mama.
But that's how it is. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of little black girls think. I mean, there's pictures of there was that time when there was a picture being circulated of a little girl saying that she wanted to be like Nicki Minaj, and she was like, she drew a picture of like the person that inspires her most, and that was her. And forget Michelle Obama, forget somebody, a woman who actually is doing something. They just want to be shaking their butt. That's the only thing that they want to do, and they don't realize that that kind of money doesn't last.
You know, speaking of Michelle Obama, somebody made a comment about Michelle Obama, and I really thought about that comment they made. They say that Michelle Obama is the most powerful, you know, at least, well, of course, and we ain't talking about money-wise, but Michelle Obama is the most powerful black woman in America, okay, first lady. And in her position, why is it that she don't come out and denounce or get on to, you know, a lot of the girls doing this stuff they're doing, since she's a, you know, black woman and she can do that? You know, and it will come over real well coming from her, since she's a, you know, a respectable lady, she's a married woman, she's the first lady. Why is it that she won't come out and just denounce and tell these girls, hey, you know, stop? Because look at her girls. Her girls don't dress like that. Looking like strippers. They dress very classy.
They had little short shorts on that one time, though.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, they make them shorts too short all over the place now. I mean, when I started looking at these shorts, I said, where the rest of it at? I think when I was growing up, you know, they had to wear shorts to their knees in school. And if it didn't go to their knees, they would send them home. We had this assistant principal. I'll never forget that lady, Miss Rory is her name, black woman. Man, she would send them chicks home left and right. She didn't care. They didn't have on long enough shorts on. She said, you're not going to be in my school dressing like hookers. She meant that.
But, like, you got to also think, though, like, what girls are really going to listen to her?
What girls are going to listen? What, to the first lady?
Yeah,
a lot of young girls don't aspire to be like that, because they say, "Oh well, Michelle Obama's not that pretty." And I'm not
right.
saying that's how I feel, but young girls, mm-hmm. they want the image of what is beautiful is Nicki Minaj or Blac Chyna or Keisha Kaur or you know any of these. I don't know
Rihanna.
You know any of these?
You know people like
Rihanna.
That.
Yeah, all those people like that. These little turn up girls and these women that are living this wild lifestyle. They say, "Oh well, man, you don't even have to have virtue anymore. You don't have to go to college anymore. All you got to do is have a big butt and be able to shake it."
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Why would they want to aspire? Why would they want to go to college and have to get a master's degree and do all that when they could just throw up a couple videos and then just become a star overnight? So
I don't know. I guess it's much easier, I guess, being a guy, because we don't got to deal with all them issues. I mean, guys just trying to make money and get on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, yeah, and make it rain. Exactly.
And throw it, yeah, and throw it the money at them girls that are doing that twerk and stuff. So.
Them girl, and them, that's so true. Like, these guys do this stuff, and these girls are just flock to that. And I don't get that. I just don't get it. I still don't understand it. Like, maybe y'all could, well, I mean, it's females like that broke. They, I mean, what happened to women's empowerment, women's liberation?
Oh, no, don't even get started on that, because if you were to say something against stripping or something like that, so, there's actually some women that feel that they are empowered by doing what they're doing. So if you speak out about stripping, then they'll call you misogynist or sexist and say, oh, well, if they want to get their money this way, then how dare you judge them? There's nothing wrong with being an escort. There's nothing wrong with doing porn. There's nothing wrong with being a stripper. That is women's empowerment. Like, that's
the thing. Yeah, I had a chick get mad at me the other day because she said, you know, I was slut-shaming. I'm like, seriously? You tell me I'm slut shaming? I mean, are you a slut to get mad about slut shaming?
But they will say
that's no such thing. No, it was a chick, and she said that because she said, I like your videos, but the video you did about Kanye and Kim, and, you know, it was really slut shaming Kim. I'm like, I just didn't, you know, I don't agree with that. And I'm like, you're sitting up here defending whoredom?
They would say that's not whoredom, though. They were like, oh, well, that's what she wanted to do.
Oh, yeah, what she say? Well, what about Kanye? He was probably being whoring and everything. I think maybe he was. But I never knew anything about his stuff. But we knew about hers. Every 5 minutes, she was doing what she was doing. Only thing I knew about Kanye is, well, he was with Amber Rose. I knew about that. But he was in a relationship. Now, he was doing dirt with Kim behind her back from when it came out. I mean, Amber Rose dropped a dime about that. And, you know, she was, he was cheating on Amber Rose with Kim, and Kim was cheating on Reggie Bush with him. So, I guess they belong with each other, I guess, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, some females get mad and you call that out. But you know, when you call out what men do wrong, deadbeat dads, or men being whores, or, whatever else, you don't say nothing about that. You don't tell me about thug shaming.
Thug shaming. Well, I don't know. I guess it's okay for, I don't know. In some people's eyes, it's okay to live like a wild lifestyle as long as you're famous and pretty. That's all.
And then that's not going to last long anyway. Talking about, you know, looks. I mean, the Bible teaches that beauty is fading.
It is. And you can't be 40 years old being the twerk team. It don't work like that.
And it would be sad if you are.
I wouldn't
say
30
something on that.
So much.
The
that
what?
Yeah, go ahead and say
this
something.
This is to your statement about the pieces back in the day when the girls couldn't come in certain shorts. And it kind of goes to what y'all just now said, too. I think now the problem is why it's allowed is because the teachers themselves, a lot of these schools wear the same stuff in public, you know?
Oh, yeah,
but as soon
true.
As they get off, as soon as they get off work,
they'll be wearing them Daisy Dukes.
Because I've seen quite a few teachers when I was in school, like, man, so if they're doing it, of course they're going to let everyone else, which is sad.
That's, yeah, like I said, we live in a time, too, that teachers are sleeping with students left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers are giving up their marriages to sleep with students.
Mm-hmm. That's a pedophile's dream, really, to become a teacher, because you'd be around kids all day. And then you remember that story where they had to give out like a list of things the teachers couldn't wear, and they were talking about teachers couldn't wear Daisy Dukes. They couldn't have stuff that had their tattoos exposed. They couldn't have see-through clothes. It's like, how many teachers were doing this before they finally wanted to say something about it?
That's sad. Let's say that you have to have ask teachers that. What happened to the old lady teachers that's old enough to your grandma?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, man, I can't stand going to her class because she always grouchy.
That's how teachers should be. But
yeah,
no.
Exactly. An old lady that's already in menopause.
Not even thinking about menopause.
Ain't thinking about nothing. Can't stand, barely can stand kids. But you got these young. And the thing is, you can't really say that because you got teachers in their 30s doing this stuff, teachers in their 40s doing this stuff. I mean, I've gotten to a point I even quit doing those stories. You know, like so many people send me those stories about teachers, but every time I say something about the teachers, it's like the response I get back is annoying.
Like, man, I wish I could have.
Man,
I wish my picture would have
been
with me.
Too, man. It's not that bad. And not, but then I get mad because it's like, okay, when you sit up here and say it's not that bad for it to happen to a boy, but it's bad to have, when a man do it to a girl, what you're basically telling society is, you know, treat men at a certain way and treat women a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what comes to unfair jail sentences and this stigma in society. Well, because let's keep it real. Society treat women like grown children. In a lot of ways, they do.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you say, they do. So, you know, I don't agree with that because women do a whole lot of things. Women are making a lot of money. Women are powerful now. So I don't get why they still do that. But in society, you know what I'm saying, when you don't say, you know, some boys aren't children. What if this woman got a venereal disease? What if she got HIV? You don't know. I mean, if that's your son.
It's not even that. It's like you don't know the effect that that's going to have on that person when they get older.
He probably gonna even be a bigger hoe, if anything.
I mean, there is a.
But I heard this one story, Ms. Gabriella, where this boy teacher, he got the teacher pregnant when he was underage. Mm. Do you know they still charged him with child support?
Wow.
Yeah. And he was a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And they still hit him up with child support.
That would be embarrassing as a woman to have the guy that got you pregnant as a child in your class.
That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing, shameful that the state would even put child support on a child that was raped.
Mm-hmm.
That's considered statutory rape.
Mm-hmm.
So how could you make this child pay for that? I mean, that's not right. I'm sorry. I couldn't. If I was a judge, I wouldn't even want that case in my courtroom.
Mm-hmm. So she gets off. She probably got off, and then she's getting money now too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Ms. Gabrielle, I want to tell you something. I don't know. Did you get it? You got this email from Full Screen?
No.
There's an email that came out about YouTube about to make some changes again.
Oh, okay.
But this is the money aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about starting early 2014, which now I'm have to really change some things I'm doing. And so YouTube will be doing a monetization review on some of your videos when you upload them. They say they expect them to check the YouTube to check 2 to 48 hours before. In other words, they're going to put your video on a hold to make money from 2 to 48 hours.
Hmm.
So they want you to start getting in the habit of, like, uploading your videos and letting them sit till the review is done. So that means you got to do videos in advance. And, like, you know, the company I'm working with, they actually wanted me to do that so they can optimize my videos for me. So now I'm going to be forced to do it. So that sucks. That means I'm going to start doing Ratchet Video Weekly early and everything early.
Mm-hmm.
Actually the day of. But sometimes it's hard to just do stuff the day of, or in advance, because different stories come out. People share stuff with you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I need to put this video up.
That's why I don't do news, because I didn't want to get caught up in current events or anything in entertainment, because I just don't want to have to be on that schedule.
Yeah.
You know me, so.
Sister, do you do videos?
Oh, no. I mean, I have, but not, like, on, you know, news and stuff. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, now, let me ask you a question. Now, you know, because we've got, 20 minutes left in the show. We were talking about propaganda. I want to bring it back to that.
Okay.
How do you feel as a black woman about the propaganda that's spewed against black women within the media, social media? It doesn't matter. I mean, how does it make you really feel?
To me, it makes me feel like, you know, no one really takes black women seriously anymore. You know, we just have a negative image now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with all these reality shows, and it's like you never really hear anything good when it comes to black women in the media. I just look at it as a way, you know, to keep us down.
So you feel that you never hear nothing good about black women, and it's, you know, you kind of feel down about the situation. Well, we talk about propaganda, and the propaganda is basically just constantly doing a one-sided showing to make their message, whoever doing it, go across. So I personally feel like, you know, they say a lot of bad things about black men all the time. We deadbeat dads, we thugs, you know, we rapists, we this, we that. And that's farthest from the truth. And, you know, I don't really feel bad about, you know, the image of black men. I just feel that it's my job to circumvent these images and propaganda and stuff like that. I try to do it as much as possible. I can't do it all. I mean, like with certain stories that I do, I make sure to say, you know, look, it is, you know, this is not black women, it's not black men, this is either hood rats or thugs, niggas, you know, whatever the flavor of the month it is at that time period. Because I don't believe in smearing our whole people group for one individual. Like, you know, I'm not going to say, you see Sharkeesha saying, see, that's how them black women are. They all like Sharkeesha. I'm not going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because not all. Because that's the case, and every black woman I run into will be want to pop me in the face. I'm just tripped out that this junk happened around here with Sharkeesha. I'm tripped out about that.
No, I'm not. I mean, all she did... See, everybody's going crazy over this video. All Sharkeesha did was sucker punch somebody. It wasn't really that serious. It really wasn't. I see stuff like this happen. I actually had somebody try to do a Sharkeesha on me back in high school. It was like a couple of girls tried to run up on me and tried to fight me, but I saw what they were doing, so I kind of was able to talk my way out of it. And they just went off and went and just wanted to go and try to pick a fight with somebody else because they saw I wasn't having it. So, I mean, it's not like it's something that's rare. It happens a lot. It's not just black women that do it. You know how a lot of girls are kind of, they'll just try to sit there and get a clique of girls, and they'll try to run up on somebody. Cause there's,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, but see, the thing is that, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, you go ahead.
It's just there's not very many, there's plenty of videos of other races of women fighting, but they don't,
of
you
course.
Never see those.
Of course,
never, ever
of course
it.
They are. You can go to my Ratchet Video Weekly channel. You'll find that. I mean, I just put up one, today, and there's a bunch of white chicks going editing Denny's, fighting bad. I had to cut some parts of it because they pants was going down. I had to cut some parts of it.
Mm.
You know, so these chicks was fighting. So I've had a video previous before that, Asian people fighting. So, I mean, yes, all kind of people and females fight. Now, did you see that part? Did you watch it, Ms. Gabriella?
I didn't get a chance to.
Oh, I was going to say something about it, but never mind now that you ain't seen it. I'll ruin it for you. You know.
I'll have to go check it out.
Hey, sister, did you subscribe to my Ratchet Video Weekly channel?
Yes.
Okay. Did you watch it today?
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? Okay. All right. What's your screen name?
Nicole P. Pollard.
Yeah, I think, I've seen your name before on there.
Yeah,
okay.
I've commented on a few of your videos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never, you know, I see people comment, but, you know, you call, I don't know the voice or whatever, and, you know, it's nice to finally speak to you in person.
Thank you. But I got a question for the both of y'all. Like,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all think, like, as far as, you know, just females in general, like, you know, how do I put it, that nowadays females, they're not really ladies anymore. Like, no one's really being taught how to be a lady. Like, everybody's a little kind of masculine these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with cussing and, you know, being, you know, fighting, so ready to fight and just acting all loud and belligerent and, you know, carrying themselves like men.
Well,
I think that's true because you know how you kept saying that Ratchet was the new classy because that's how it is nowadays. Because if you're a lady who behaves herself, I mean, not even behaves herself, but just acts like a lady who really doesn't run around fighting and twerking and cussing and everything else and acting all wild, you don't really get any attention. But the women that are, you know, wild and out there are the ones that get the most shine. And so girls are like, okay, well, why would I want to behave like a lady? Because that's not going to benefit me.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I feel like, I know I keep coming in and out with the mute, but I feel like that's kind of, it's our fault in a sense. No, it is our fault. Because a lot of the, it's like Gabriella just said, most of the girls that get most of the attention, even when I was in high school, in junior high, it was the girls, it was the black girls that was fighting. That's where they got attention when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing now girls are seeing that. They don't want to be by themselves. Then they're combating with the fact that, you know, you got black guys that say they don't date black girls. So, like, well, how am I going to get their attention? You know, it's kind of like a cry out, but then they do it. It starts out as a little game, and it goes on so long that it actually becomes them to the point that
mm-hmm.
now, you know, they act like a man so long that they think they're a man, you know, and they'll take on dudes.
And then when they get beat up, they'll sit there and say, oh, I'm a woman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm calling the police.
Yeah, and then you get a domestic violence case, and then you messed up. Like that, like some video I just recently saw on, what was it, Worldstar, this dude sitting up there and body slam this chick, and she knocked her out. You seen that one?
Mm-hmm.
They were fighting, and then this other one they were just posted. I mean, on Worldstar, they were fighting, these two chicks fighting at the door, and they go bust in some other neighbor's house, fighting in the neighbor's house. I'm like, what's wrong with these females? I mean, like, they are just, wow.
Yeah, because
you got Ray Ray, you got Ray Ray and Leroy up the street ready to scoop them up as soon as they're done. Dang, girl, I like that you could fight. I like that you could fight, girl. Real help. I'll take you home. You know, I'm about to buy you everything you want. You want some Jordans?
These girls are crazy. I'm sorry. That would scare me off if I was.
That's the thing, though, if that's what the men want. Because I've had black guys, because I go to a black college, all right? And I had black guys tell me that, oh, you're not you're too quiet and you don't fight. Why don't you curse? Why don't you go turn up and go to the club every weekend? I said, that's not me. So, oh, well, you boring. I don't like girls like you. But the girls, then they always be complaining about how many problems they have with Tarquisha and all them. But that's the ones they want.
And
yeah,
I've said that
happened before. Some black men do like chicks like that. They like hood rats. They do. And then they
like the drama.
They get that epiphany too later. Like a lot of women. Like, oh, now I want a good person.
Mm-hmm.
After they had a couple of kids, these hood rats too.
Child support.
You and them weights.
Got a beer gut.
Oh man, child support. God, child support.
I can't date nobody with five kids. That's not happening. But I don't know. I think they should just get together, the hood rats and the ex hood rats that want to change their life. And the guys with five kids might as well just get together and have their own little black Brady bunch. That's what they should do instead of trying to get everybody else.
I think they should. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they both kind of had the same background. They both got kids. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It would make way more sense.
Hey, Miss Gabriella, I'm about to make my wife mad. I told my wife that we're gonna name my baby Sharkeesha.
No. She probably will be like, no child of mine is going to have one of those names. Because that kind of name, it limits you. Oh, my God.
Heck, yeah. I'm trying to figure out what her mama was thinking. And someone thought it was cute, too, you know?
They probably was, like, all in the hood. But they probably had their little, they probably wrote it on the little baby shower cards. And they were like, we're going to name the baby Sharkeesha. And they thought it was so cute. They probably have, like under the sea themed parties for her when she was growing up.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah, Little Mermaid themed party. Just
but
a little party.
But the other girl's name is Shamichael.
That means the baby daddy's name was Michael. And I don't know what the mama's name was, but they were trying to be, like, quote-unquote, creative.
Yeah, that's exactly how a lot of them do, too. You're right
it's
about
Sharice
that.
And Michael.
They try to combine the baby daddy and the mama name together. Yeah, I've heard them do that. That same. Like that mess, like they do with the fences about Kanye, talking about Kim Ye, that type of junk. That hood, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
As far as they name their baby that Kim Ye.
They call him Northwest, that's just as bad.
Yeah, yeah, that's just as bad. They should name her Sharkeesha, too.
Well, I mean, so she's a celebrity, so it's okay to name your child Apple and Zion and
but,
all
well,
that
kind of crazy. My daughter got a friend. Her name is Success.
Well,
that's a tough one because that could actually help her in a sense. If she does good, if she's successful in everything she does, she's going to have a nice high school life and college.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Then my daughter talking about, oh, she just got weave today.
A weave? I hope
and she's 12, and she's 12, and she just got her weave.
What 12-year-old needs to know what a weave is? These little girls, she probably, it's shameful, honestly. They got little girls walking around in weave and little short shorts, and I don't know what they're trying to do. They're probably going to have a lingerie line for children pretty soon.
Oh,
They're walking around looking like grown women, and they're like 2 feet tall.
Hormones in the Don't be talking about people's height now. But
you know what, speaking of, you know, man, me and my wife went in this store the other day called Bye Bye Baby. It's called, and I've seen some stuff in that store. I couldn't believe they got for kids now. I mean, like, it freaked me smooth out. Y'all got to understand, I ain't had a kid. My son is 9.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a long time since I had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And going into a baby store now and looking at the stuff we have, I can't believe it. They got stuff that just they do. I mean, a parent ain't got to do nothing. But they'll almost press a button.
Mm.
And it's a trip. I mean, like, they got these things that cost $200, but they do everything themselves. I mean, they move like robotic. They got all this these nice stuff. I mean, like, the cribs don't like cribs anymore. They're like some real bed type of stuff. And I mean, it's like, man, I'm going to be spending some money in a few months on this child. I'll be at. What?
Well, I mean, that's how it is.
Chrome diapers.
What?
Did you say chrome diapers?
What? Chrome diapers?
Thongies? What is this?
That better be a joke.
Is that real?
That better be a joke.
That better be a joke. Let me see. That better be a joke.
Let me look it up.
It's on blog. It's your baby fashionable enough, and it's on blog babycenter.org. It's called Thongy. Introducing Thongy, the new diaper on the blog. They're sassy and confident. Diaper.
No, they are real.
That's just breathability. And they are so dainty. 384 of these puppies fit into a package. What? You serious with this?
No, it's real.
Oh,
I'm looking it up
now.
It's called Thongy.
Wow.
Thongy. Oh, look at it. And they showed a baby with the butt out. Oh,
hell
yeah.
No. You're kidding. Man, post that somewhere. Post that on Facebook. I'll see that.
No.
I'll send you a picture. That is disgusting. Why would you have a picture of a baby?
That's like child porn.
Might as well.
Look,
they're just making it easy. I'm pedophiles.
Yeah.
I can't post that on Facebook. I get in trouble on my page.
Someone send it to my inbox. I gotta see this.
It's a thong with the baby's butt out.
No, it's real though.
It's real.
This stuff that they have for kids now. Did you hear about the iPotty?
You know what I do? You know what I'm going to post it on?
Yeah.
I'm going to post it on Instagram. I'm going to get in trouble there.
Yeah, they got porn on Instagram. The iPod is like a regular child potty thingy. But then you can...
Oh my God. No, look, my wife said that this is what she told me. She said if I name the baby Sharkeesha, then she's going to buy the baby Thongy.
No. But anyway, I'm trying to talk about this iPod where there's so much noise in the background. Anyway, this is, they have this invention they call the iPod, and it trains kids to basically use, like, it's basically like a regular child's training seat, but they have an iPod or iPad attached to it, so they can play games and stuff when they're on the toilet.
Wow.
And you're two. What? Like, what two-year-old yeah. needs to be on the iPad when they're using the when they're in the bathroom? Is it really that serious? Do we really, like, you training kids to be antisocial? Kids don't even go outside and play anymore, let alone, they can't even, people, like, you could actually go with a family at a restaurant, and instead of talking to each other, they'll be sitting there, everybody will be on electronics, so they'll sit there and have to text each other to speak to each other because they don't know how to talk.
That's stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm still tripped out by these thongies. I can't believe they came out with that.
That's seeing the case. From what I've seen,
Advice.
What's up, brother?
Gabrielle and Advice. I mean, yes. if they got baby thongs, but then you know before that they had grown man leggings, like what they call a Manning.
Lil Wayne wears.
They had them on TV, Good Morning America. Michael Strahan was wearing them one day, playing around. Lil Wayne, all these people wearing it, dudes walking around in female-looking tights.
I could not see me in no gay stuff like that. Sorry, it's gay.
I think you would look nice in a pair of panties.
That's some gay stuff.
Your purse, and your little your man purse, and your lip gloss, and your... They got man high heels now, so you can
acting like what little mama talking about. Your lip gloss is popping. Your lip gloss is cool.
I mean, that's how you know what. Nowadays, the women are manly and the men are feminine.
Yeah, it's like roles are reversed.
Yeah,
straight up.
And it's sad. Cause I'm sorry, I couldn't deal with no manly type female. Sorry. I was saying they got some of these females that are so manly to make a straight man feel like he gay.
I've had a guy that I've talked to a guy and he was so feminine I felt like I was gay. So it's just,
you felt like you were gay?
Yeah, he made me feel like I was in a lesbian relationship. That's how.
Wow.
I've had guys tell me that, oh, I'm too soft, that they want a female that has a little thug in them, and, you know, stuff like that.
Why you want a female with some thug in her? That's stupid.
they got some sugar in the tank, man.
Yeah,
they secretly want a man.
That's what you want. Oh, God, the freak.
Well, I mean, that's how it is, though. That's the kind of woman that the men want. They don't want no... They don't want a soft, nice, submissive woman until they wake up. That's when, after they sit there and they got like 80% of their check being taken away by their 10 kids, then all of a sudden they want a nice girl.
But I don't understand that, because like this one guy I was talking to who told me that like the female that he's with, they get into physical altercations. I remember I called his phone one time and she was throwing plates at him and hitting him. But yet this is the female that he wants as opposed to a female who acts feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Get all that. You have a problem. I'll hit up one of my female cousins real quick.
He get her, beat her up.
I'm not going to hit her. I'll give her a loving, tight hug. Calm down. I love you. Calm down.
She ain't going
to fall. All that squaring up stuff that I see people do now, no.
Mm-hmm.
No way. Because either way, you lose as a man. If you beat her, you beat a girl. If you lose, you got beat by a girl. You go to jail, they're going to beat you up because you beat up a girl. And vice versa. It's just not worth it. Just walk away.
That's why you just don't even get with these manly type females. Just leave them alone. Cause no real woman gonna be fighting with no.
I'm scared. Like I would never hit a man. because I feel like I'll get
put
my,
that, I'll put, hey, I'll put that thing up on Instagram by the thongy.
Okay, I'm checking out.
That's messed up stuff, man. That's messed up stuff.
How much time y'all got left?
About 30 seconds. I'm about to wrap this show up, but appreciate everybody joining the show tonight. I found out about some thongies that I didn't even know about, that they need to get beat for that. And oh, my God, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm still tripped out. So, appreciate, I can't wrap up the show, Ms. Gabriella. Wow.
Wow. Okay, well.
You wrap it up, Ms. Gabriella.
We ain't got no time left. All right, well, I appreciate you guys watching the show, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week.
See y'all later.
All right.
Really? Yeah, okay. All right. Oh, Gabriella, you got to start doing a little bit more than I do. 2014, you getting it.
What do you mean?
You gonna start doing the outros. I'm not doing them no more.
Why?
Because you need more practice.
Okay.
All right.